Hi everyone, and welcome to Final Score with the Score. Chelsea 1, Arsenal 1 in the Premier League. A great result for me. Well, I think it was a great result. Chelsea up to third in the Premier League. And we're going to talk about the game today. And we're going to have, Ramwood is going to join us eventually. Louis is going to join us from the ground to give us the match day view. So we'll go here, ready to go. Just waiting for some more people to arrive, and then we'll get going. Let's start out with the match review, little match review. Chelsea made some changes. Reece James was on the bench. Peter Rudd started. And otherwise it was the normal Premier League 11 that we've seen in recent weeks. Adrian Neto starting on the left. I mean, the back on the right. Cole Palmer started after being injured. Good for us. We got underway and we got in. First half, I'd say, was pretty even. Chelsea had chances, Arsenal had chances. Arsenal had an offside goal, just disallowed from Kai Havertz, which is quite funny because he celebrated and shoved with the Chelsea fans and then it was given offside, which is really funny. So, 0-0 at half time, I was pretty satisfied with that. Second half, kind of more of the same, really, but, Arsenal got a chance in the, near the beginning of the second half, and, brilliant ball in from Odegaard, really, and Martinelli scored at the near post against Sanchez, who really should have saved it, and we're going to talk about that, I suspect, at some point. Ramwood is probably going to talk about that, I'm sure. Yes, so 1-0 down, but then Enzo Maresca made some changes. We had Modric on, Enzo Fernandez on, Pedro Neto went to the right, he was having a good game. And then it was Pedro Neto that got the equaliser with a fantastic strike, ball in through from Enzo Fernandez. He got the assist, and then Pedro Neto with an incredible strike to equalise. And then both sides had chances to win the game after that, I think. Could have gone either way. It was a pretty even game, and I think the draw was probably a fair result. Chelsea are up to third in the Premier League, going into the international break after 11 games. So that's a really real positive for me. So yeah, there we are. We're going to talk about the game today. Rambles, welcome. What are your initial thoughts on the game?
I'm not sure how I feel, really. I feel a bit meh. But I felt before the game they were really there for the taking, but we didn't really do enough to get a win. I think a draw was a fair result.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think we didn't really do much to get the win, but definitely.
The disappointing thing for me is, you know, it's another big game we haven't won, and our record in big games has been substandard for many, many years now. We just seem to struggle in those big games.
Yeah, I think it was a bit of, I mean, last season we won a few big games. You know, we beat Spurs twice, we beat Man United, we beat Aston Villa in the Cup, you know. So we got better at it last season. This season we've not, I don't think we've played badly against any big team, really, but we've not been able to get the win. I think maybe there's a bit of fear, maybe there's a lack of confidence, maybe just we just lack that experience in the team to get over the line in the big games. I think that might be it. And, of course, the old problem of the goalkeeper, as ever, which we've talked about ad infinitum on this show, and I'm sure we'll talk about it again today. So, absolutely. So, we'll start with these rambles. We'll start with your rambles rant or rambles rave, whichever it's going to be today, before we get on to our first point. So what's your rambles rant or rave today?
I'm going to rant about a player, and it's not going to be Sanchez today.
Wow. Who is it then?
I'm going for Madueke. He's been below par for quite a few games now, and I think he does need to be dropped. I think we did look better when Neto moved to the right-hand side. I think what Neto's got over Madueke is his end product's better.
Yeah, I mean, we saw that. I mean, it almost immediately, didn't we? When Modric came on and Neto shifted to the right, he scored almost immediately. And he was getting the end of the last the extra time added on time. He was getting loads of crosses into the box. If he'd had a taller striker on the pitch, I think we might have got a winner. You're right. I think you're right about that. I was saying that during the game. Nonny didn't have his best game. He's not been great for a while. I think he's been getting a bit complacent. I think he needs a time out of the first choice 11. 100%. You know,
I was going to add a second part to the rant as well.
Oh, what's the second part?
Ben White was on a yellow card, and we didn't make the most. I was hoping after we got the yellow card, we would really kind of go for him, really kind of force him into more challenges, you know, try and get him to get a second yellow card. And I didn't think we made the most of that at all. I think when you've got a fullback on a yellow card, that's an opportunity for your wingers to really go at them, really give them a hard time. You know, they're going to be scared to make their challenge. And if they do make their challenge, there's every possibility they could get a second yellow. So I think that was something we didn't take advantage of.
Yeah, I think, Mudrick should have done better with that, I suppose, when he came on, you know, especially because he was fresh. I should have been giving Ben White more problems. Yeah, 100%. Yeah, absolutely. You've got to take advantage of those opportunities, you know, when... Arsenal played a pretty dirty game, to be honest. A pretty physical game. You know, it was a rough game. But when they've got that yellow, we should have taken advantage of it. Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Some good points there, Rambles. And I kind of agree with both of them. I think Nonny, he's such a frustrating player because he can make something happen out of nothing and score a goal. But then he just his decision making can be so bad sometimes. So absolutely agree with that. And we did look better when he came off. We did. So yeah, that's your Rambles rant and Rambles rave for today. And we're going to get on to, it's kind of a nice segue actually. Nice segue because I wanted to talk about Pedro Neto. I thought he was great today, not just his goal, but the way he played overall, the crosses he got in, the way he ran at players, the way he defended and pressed. I thought he was our best attacker today. I thought he was excellent. He's forced his way into the Premier League team. He was in the midweek team for a while, but he played well in those games and he forced his way into the Premier League team. And now, he started three Premier League games in a row for Chelsea, and he's playing well. And brilliant goal today. Really, really good goal. Just your thoughts on Pedro Neto, Rambles.
Yeah, I think he finally looks like he's fully settled in at the club now, and he's now starting to recreate the form we saw at his best at Wolves. What I really like about him is that he looks just as comfortable on either wing. And I think that's such a good quality for a winger because you do find a lot of wingers, even though they can play on either side, they look far more comfortable on one side. But he looks just as dangerous on either side.
Yeah, I agree. He's one of those players, isn't he? That he's got the quality to play on either side. He was great on the left-hand side in the first half, I thought. I thought he played pretty well, made some good runs, pressed well, defended well, which you need to do. That's part of the game. I thought when second half, when Nonny went off and he switched to the right, he was even more dangerous. Like I've been talking about, some great crosses, really good crosses.
And I think also another pleasing thing of Neto is that there were some slight concerns about his injury record when we signed him.
Yeah.
But, so far he's been available for every game. And I think you have to give a lot of credit to Enzo because he's really managing the players' minutes. Whereas last season under Pochettino and seasons previous, I think we were just throwing players back in. I don't mean there was as much care put into players' minutes. Whereas now you can really see Enzo's really prioritising, like, this guy needs to be rest for this game. We're going to bring this guy off early. And we're certainly reaping the rewards.
And he did that with Reece James today as well. Support him. To be fair, Kamalagasa had a pretty good game, I thought. Pretty good. Could have scored. Should have scored, probably. But I thought he had a pretty decent game. And then he brought Reece James on. you know, for the last, what, 10, 15 minutes, 20 minutes. And that was fine, you know, and he was, and, you know, that's good. It means that, I mean, Rhys Jones has now played three games in a row. He started two of those games and he's not injured. So, and now he's got 2 weeks off because he won't be with the England squad. So, that gives him a chance to rest and refresh and come back for, you know, the next game. Probably he'll start the next game. So, yeah, you're absolutely right about Enzo Maresca. I think the way he's managed players' minutes has been very good. Like with Labia, when he came back from injury, he didn't play him in 90 minutes every game. He eased him back in. And, you know, that's paid dividends. And he took him off today for Enzo Fernandez. And that was a good decision as well, because Enzo got the assist for the goal. So, absolutely agree with that. Just an interesting question that I wanted to talk about, Pedro Neto. Because, like we said, he can play on the left and the right. Like, in our kind of ideal first choice attack, when everyone's fit, like, where does Pedro Neto fit in? And why?
Personally, I would have him on the right-hand side, because I think he's the better option than Madueke, because I think he's more consistent, and he's better in the final third. And I'm probably leaning slightly more towards Mudryk over Sancho, because I think Mudryk's really impressed me for the last few games he started. I think he's growing in confidence. And I don't know why. I've just got this belief that there's a really special player in Mudryk. I know we haven't seen it for various reasons, but I think if we can just gain a bit more consistency and win the manager's confidence, I think, you know, I really do believe the sky's the limit for him.
Yeah, Mudryk is somebody that is the kind of player, I've said this before, that you want to succeed because he's got such a good attitude. He works so hard in training. He wants to improve. He wants to do well. He's not arrogant. He's not egotistical. You know, he just wants to do well and improve. And it's taken time. But, you know, like you say, he's had a pretty good season, 2 goals and 5 assists this season. And he is getting close to earning a start in the Premier League. I absolutely agree. My only concern with Mudryk is that I'm not 100% convinced of his defensive ability, and like that can leave you open down that side. You know, I think that's one of the reasons he's not starting in the Premier League yet. Is that? But
I mean,
in terms of what he's doing from an attacking perspective, yeah, absolutely agree.
I mean, I always go back to Mohamed Salah when obviously he first came to Chelsea. He looked like a fish out of water. You know, nobody saw the development
absolutely
going the way it did go. Now, some players just need more time than others.
Absolutely, yeah, and absolutely. And Salah was not going to get a run in that Chelsea team at the time because you know we had Eden Hazard and William was playing really well at that point as well. So. He wasn't going to get a start at Chelsea. So I don't blame Chelsea for letting him go, actually, because you know, he wasn't performing for us and because he needed to start games. And I understand that. It's Kevin De Bruyne is the one that I was more upset about because, you know, we could have given him games and everyone knew the talent. But, that's a different issue. But yeah, absolutely in Mudryk. Yeah, stick with him. Maybe he'll start against Leicester the next game in the Premier League in 2 weeks' time. Leicester away. So that's going to be interesting. Actually, Pedro Neto, well played. I thought he was really, really, really good today. So we're going to have Louis from the ground at some point. So we're just waiting on him to arrive. But but while we're here, make sure you check out the Chelsea Echo Twitter account. It's got all the content that we produce, including this podcast and also all the other stuff that Chelsea Echo produces. Some great content, great people. Make sure you give that a follow. And there'll be a match note review, a kind of mini match review coming up soon, I suspect. And we'll talk about that more later. So the second topic that I wanted to talk about, and again, it's something we talk about often this season. And, you know, I'm a big fan of this player. But Moises Caicedo, I'm a big fan of his. I think he's been brilliant this season. I thought he was excellent again today. He was captain today. I thought he showed leadership today. Some of his passing was unbelievable. He started so many attacks with his passing out wide. And defensively, he was good. He showed leadership, I thought, as well. I thought he had another amazing game. And what, like, so I know we talk about him often, Rambles, but thoughts on Caicedo today?
I absolutely love Caicedo, and he's just getting better game by game. And one of the biggest compliments I can play him, as I've said all season, nobody is mentioning his price tag now, because he's justifying it and more. He's been consistent for, I think, I would say the whole of 2024, we've been playing at a very, very high level. And I think this season, I would say he and Gravenberch have probably been the two best midfielders in the league, probably by quite some distance as well. I think he's just been absolutely superb. And his all-round game, as you say, is improving. His passing's improving, his leadership's improving.
Yeah, absolutely agree. I mean, I'm a big fan of Caicedo. And there was an article even on him in midweek talking about why we chose him over Declan Rice. And, you know, that he was just basically because he was the better player, the better footballer overall. And I think that's bearing out in performances. I mean, Declan Rice is a great player. Don't get me wrong. I'm a big fan of Declan Rice. But in terms of potential and, you know, ability, I think Moises Caicedo is a better player. I mean, Rice had a decent game today, but Caicedo was excellent. And, you know, he won his battles and he wasn't intimidated at all. You know, he was excellent in midfield. He was, again, our best midfielder. He always is our best midfielder. And, you know, and showing leadership, which is something that I didn't expect from Caicedo, because he's quite quiet, but he's captain of Ecuador, and now he's clearly one of the leaders at Chelsea. Endo doesn't give out the armbands to people who aren't leaders, and so he's clearly respected by his teammates. And yeah, it's really good to see. I mean, like you say, nobody talks about the 115 million we paid for him now, because he's just consistently good every week. I mean, do you think he's our player of the season so far?
I would say probably, yeah, I think he has been. I think, you know, every single game, he's a solid 8.5 out of 10. Mr. Consistent.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. Like, I think, for me, he is our player of the season so far. And there's a few contenders for that, you know, but I think he's been consistently our best player. Like, every game, he's not had a bad game, I don't think, this season. I think he's been excellent in every game. And, you know, he's not missed, I don't think he's missed a league game either. He's not been injured, which is another good thing. Yeah, and I'm really pleased with Moises Caicedo. I think he's excellent. And, you know, he played well today. It was part of the reason we got a point. Made some really important tackles as well. And, yeah, he's only, what, 22, 23. He's going to get better, you know. That's the scary thing for, well, not for us, but for everyone else, is he's going to get better. One interesting thing today, like, as well, which is a link to this point. Rami Olavia probably didn't have his, how do you think Rami Olavia played today?
It wasn't his best game. It wasn't a terrible game. I'd say maybe like a 6 out of 10, just maybe slightly above average.
Yeah, it's interesting because some people have been saying that he hasn't actually played well recently. Do you think that's true?
I mean, I thought he was very good against Manchester City, and he was very good against Liverpool as well.
Yeah, I think, I'm a big fan of Romeo Lager.
I think you've got to take into account he was out for like pretty much just 98% of last season. So, you know, it's going to take him time to kind of settle into his new team, you know, finding that match sharpness again. I think as fans, you know, I think people often expect, you know, players being out for a long period of time to come back in and just hit the ground running straight away. But players need time to get up and running again, you know, and especially with Lavia, he came into a new team as well last season, and he played one league game.
Absolutely, yeah, that's right. He played what? 1 half, I think he played last season.
I think it was like 30 minutes or something, wasn't it?
Yeah, and then he got injured right at the end of it. you know, he wasn't, I mean, I don't think he was 100% fit. Pochettino tended to play players in the red zone. And he came on and then got injured right at the end, and he was out pretty much for the season. So. So thanks for that. It's great, good conversation about Moises Caicedo. And we have Louis Benedetti is coming up, disguised as Imperial Wharf. I know he's disappeared.
I was going to mention another player.
Go on. Yeah, we'll talk about that. Yeah.
Marco Correa. I think he
was. I was going to talk about him.
Outstanding.
I thought he was excellent today. He got man of the match, I think, from Sky.
Yeah, I think he deserved it. I thought he handled Saka brilliantly.
Yeah, I agree. I thought he was excellent. Saka ended up coming off with an injury, you know, and I was tweeting about how he needed to take himself out of Cucurella's pocket. You know, I thought Cucurella was superb today. I thought he was really, really good. And I think, yeah, that's something I wanted to talk about today anyway. So, I think Cucurella's, you know, showing every time he plays that he's performing, he's been consistent. So we'll talk about him a bit more in a minute, but we've finally got Louis up here, I think. So, Louis, your voice from the game. What was it like at the start?
Afternoon, evening. Hello, morning. Where is everyone listening? Going on? It was a really good atmosphere. It was a new feeling in the crowd. There was a bit of a tingle to it. I really enjoyed that. I've not felt that for a little while that shows in the game. So I think everyone was really enjoying today. They looked far up for it. I think there was one of the big things I really liked about Chelsea today was this attacking we showed.
I can't hear you very well, Louis. Is everything right with the connection your end?
Can you hear me?
Not really well.
it's
cutting out a little bit.
Hang on.
Yeah, check with the connection. We'll come back to you, Louis. In the meantime, make sure you check out the match note review. It's which Louis will be doing, and hopefully it will sound a bit better than that. yes, make sure you the voice note review that'll be from the Chelsea Echo on the Chelsea Echo Twitter account. That'll be available at some point soon. So make sure you check that out. They're always worth listening to. 2 or 3 minutes about the game from Louis. Okay, I'm going to mute you until you sort your connection out. It's not good. I need to be careful. Check your connection, Louis. We'll get back to you for sure. So let's talk about Mark Cucurella. Like as Rambles hinted just now, had an absolutely brilliant game today, was given man of the match, definitely one of our better players today, won a lot of tackles. Saka really didn't do much in the game, and it was partly because of Cucurella. I thought he was excellent. He's been excellent every time he's played this season. Again, he's been pretty consistent when he started. He hadn't started the last few games since Reece James came back, but today he came in for Reece James and played really well. So, Rambles, like on Cucurella's season, how do you think he's doing?
Yeah, I think he's been very, very good. You know, sort of 8.5 out of 10.
Yeah.
I think today he showed why he has to be starting left back. As good as Gusto has been, or Reece James, as good as they can play there, I think Cucurella is the best left back, and he should be starting the games when he's fit and available.
Yeah, I think he needs to be starting. I do. I think he's definitely in our first choice 11 when he's fit. It's just about balancing who plays on that right hand side. I thought, you know, Malo Gusto was good today. Reece James, we don't know how good Reece James can be. It's just about which of them inverts, you know, so it's just, I don't think he wants Reece James to try and get further forward. I think he's trying to protect him from that at the moment, which is fine. You know, I don't mind protecting Reece James a bit because we know about his injury history. So it's better to be safe than sorry with him, especially when you've got Malo Gusto. But Mark Cucurella, you know, he's had a great 2024, really. He's been great pretty much all year, even under Pochettino. No, Ramos, what are you saying?
Yeah, I just, as I was saying before, I prefer to see a left footer playing at left back, because I just think that brings more balance to the team than when you're playing a right footed right back at left back. I've never really been a fan of that.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm with you, really. I prefer to have natural footed players playing in those positions, in the fullback positions. Absolutely. And Cucurella deserves to be starting for us. He's been superb. I mean, it's a great comeback from him, given how he started his Chelsea career, you know, and he wasn't great in his first 18 months. And he had personal issues as well. His home was burgled and there are other issues that haven't been talked about, but there were, and they've been reported that there were issues. He's kind of settled in now and he's found his niche and he's got his confidence back and he's playing well. And that looks like a good signing now in hindsight, doesn't it? I mean, I paid 62 million for him, but actually now that doesn't seem like such a bad investment. You know, it was, he's producing consistently and this is against Arsenal, who were second in the Premier League last season. It's not a bad team to perform well against. So, and obviously against Bukayo Saka, who's an excellent player, and we all know he is. And to keep him in his pocket, I thought that was quite impressive. So,
I think as fans, fans are impatient, especially when you sign a player for that much money, you just automatically expect them to come in and hit the ground running. And players do need time, even when they're coming from the same league. You're moving house, you've got to get your family settled in a new area. There's so much more to it off the pitch, which can impact things on the pitch.
Absolutely agree. I think we will underestimate that. And that's relevant with Enzo Fernandez as well, because he's had a lot of off-pitch stuff going on in his personal life and obviously what happened in the summer, which was not good. But in his personal life as well, you all know what's happening in his personal life, and that's difficult. We shouldn't underestimate that and how it can impact you, you know?
So, and I think it's even harder for a player when they're not in their home country and they're going through those kind of troubles.
Yeah, absolutely. Exactly. I mean, he's in England. His family's in Argentina and his children might be in Argentina. And that's hard, you know, that's really, 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 really hard. And for anyone, especially when you're that age, only 23, that Enzo is. So, and that, I'm sure that was a factor with Cucurella, you know, the stuff that he went through was distracting him and he was, you know, not confident, and then fans getting on his back and everything. It didn't help, you know, but credit to him. You know, he got an opportunity to play in that kind of inverted fullback position. Since then, he's been excellent, and he took that into the Euros. He was the best left back at the Euros and won the Euros. So, fair play to him. And he deserves all the praise that he gets. So, have we got Louis back?
Can you hear me, gentlemen? Is that better?
Yes, we can hear you.
There we go. Fantastic.
Great stuff. So, how are your thoughts on the game, Louis?
Well, like I said before, the connection was probably terrible. I thought, overall, if you'd said to me before this run of this game, Newcastle, United, Liverpool, that we'd get a draw out of this game, I'd probably take it. And I still would. I think today we weren't spectacular. I think there's still signs that Chelsea need to improve, things that need to improve on. I still think maybe there's a little bit too much respect given to the opposition in some cases. I thought we'd proved that there was opportunities where if we were a bit more direct with a bit more impetus and just played those balls forward a bit more, rather than maybe sometimes playing that extra pass for the triangle to maintain position, we'd put them under a lot more pressure. But overall, look, it showed that Arsenal aren't these Goliaths that a lot of people thought they would be going into the season. They didn't really show anything going forward at all, if I'm honest, until right at the end. And obviously the lapse in concentration in the first half and maybe Martinelli's goal. So, you know, overall, I didn't think Chelsea were the worst. Didn't think they were the best, but it was a step in the right direction. Atmosphere was amazing. You could tell that people were really up for it today, and I think it definitely helped the players. But look, it's not like United where it was 2 points dropped. It's a point on the board for Chelsea, which is really important. We're sat in third going into the November international break. I mean, look, if you'd said that to me at the beginning of the season, I think I'd have taken it. So, you know, all positive for me today. I'm just happy we didn't lose, basically.
What players stood out for you, Louis?
I mean, you were talking about Cucurella. I think he was excellent today. I think that switch for putting him on that left-hand side, I think you just want someone who's more comfortable there. And, you know, for him, I think it was incredibly harsh after that suspension that he was dropped, basically. He's worked his way back into the side. He's proven his value. He's proven his mettle in a big game. I think he should be staying there. I think he was fantastic. And Moises Caicedo as well. Again, I think, look, proving why he's now probably turning into one of the best central midfielders in the league. Seeing him and Declan Rice against each other was always really going to be interesting. And I think some of the tackles he was making, some of the passes he made as well, just a couple of cross-field balls I was very impressed by. And obviously later on in the game, a big, big challenge by Moises Caicedo, which he celebrated like he'd scored. So, you know, I'm very happy with those two. I think they're fantastic. I was a bit worried about Cole Palmer. He didn't quite look at it today. I think maybe he was rushed back because it was Arsenal. Didn't want to lose him. So, you know, I think maybe, you know, hopefully he's not, well, if he does go to England, doesn't play too much this international break. I'm hoping that he you know, can get a sense of fitness back. I think that's going to be really important for him. But look, overall, a good day out, I think it's fair to say. A result that I think a lot of us would take.
Yeah. And just some stats from the game. Chelsea had 17 shots, 3 on target. Arsenal had 13 shots and 3 on target. And Chelsea had 48% possession. Arsenal had 51.1. We had 48.9. So it's pretty even, the game, if you look at it. And Arsenal haven't won in four. I don't think it's four games they haven't won now. You know, and they're below us in the league. I think it's important to note that. we are the top London team, as we should be. We're third in the league. We're only 4 points behind Manchester City. And we're level on points with Arsenal, Forest and Brighton, but we're above them all on goal difference. So Chelsea third in the league. We've only lost twice in 11 games. So we're kind of a third of the way through the season, nearly. You know, and like you say, being in third place at this point is really positive, I think. I don't think many people were expecting that. Also, I'd also note that Arsenal have only conceded one less goal than us.
And their defence is seen as far superior.
Yeah, and also Manchester City have conceded the same number of goals that we have. And we've only scored one less goal than Manchester City as well.
That's all positive signs, isn't it? It is just positive,
yeah. And yes, Man City haven't been great recently, but I mean, they're still a great side, right? They're still second in the Premier League. Liverpool are kind of running away with it at the moment, but things can change. So Chelsea in a good position, I think.
Did you see the post yesterday about Brighton? They obviously beaten Man City, beaten Man United, drew with Arsenal. I think they beat Tottenham, didn't they? And we scored 4 past them.
Yeah. And we outplayed them. It was one of our best performances of the season, I think.
Yeah, but anyone can beat Tottenham, lads. Come on, let's not hype that result up too much. You know what I mean?
Okay, but they beat Manchester City. We beat a team that beat Manchester City. So, that's...
Does that mean we beat them by proxy?
Yeah.
I wish.
Yeah, we'll take it.
Yeah, that would better be nice, wouldn't it? It would be nice to beat them by proxy. Next game up is Leicester away. I'm hoping Leicester don't sack their manager in the international break, because that would be typical of us, wouldn't it, for that to happen to us again. So next league game is Leicester away. After that, it's Aston Villa at home. So, you know, we should win Leicester away. We really should. There's no excuse for that. And, you know, Aston Villa, Aston Villa aren't in that great form at the moment. I mean, Aston Villa are nowhere in the table. They're ninth in the table. You know,
they've lost four of their last five. They drew one, so their form is horrendous.
They've conceded more goals than us as well, and scored less goals than us. So yeah, absolutely. That game I think we should win. If we're serious about top four, we can beat Villa. I think the international break's probably coming at a good time for us. We need a bit of a break, I think. Some of our players need a break. We've looked a bit more tired in the last two or three games. So I think a break will be good for us. Not everyone will be going away with international teams. And I hopefully, like you say, some of them won't play. Hopefully they'll just send Cole Palmer home and we can just rest for a couple of weeks. You know, that's what I would like. And of course, Reece James won't be going away, either. So that's good. I'm not sure about Wesley Fofana. Was he called up?
I don't think he was. I'll double check.
That's probably good.
One player, by the way, who has definitely been called up for his country, who I think players should be looking over their shoulder over the next couple of weeks, especially game weeks, that is Mikhailo Mudryk. I'm sticking on that hype train, boys, because I tell you what, when he came on, Arsenal looked scared. And I thought he maybe didn't make the best deliveries, but my word, he was causing the problems down that left-hand side. Mikhailo Mudryk.
That's interesting for somebody at the game, because it's difficult to know, see that on the TV, to see that difference. But certainly that tactical change by Maresca, well, that kind of got us the point, because it meant that Neto moved to the right and he got his goal from the right almost immediately. So, from Enzo Fernandez, five assists now for Enzo Fernandez this season, which is the most by any Chelsea midfielder this season, I think.
Never had any doubts about him. Always rated him. Always thought he was definitely worth all the money we paid for him. I think he's an absolutely spectacular player. Never said anything else ever in my life.
Of course not, Louis, no. Like Nicholas Jackson, yeah. But, yeah. So, yeah, I mean, like, okay, so your thoughts on, like, what would your attack be, Louis? Like, we were talking about this earlier. We're just interested to get your perspective on it. Like, obviously, Pedro Neto looked really, really good today.
Yeah.
Especially on the right. And Cole Palmer will start when he's fit. Nicholas Jackson will start when he's fit.
Yeah.
But who would be your other attacker that you would start?
I'm going to probably say something that's definitely slightly controversial, but you know what I mean. My front line would involve Christopher Nkunku, but I'd put Cole Palmer on the right-hand side again. Just to get him into this team, purely because I think today was an example where Chelsea needed that little bit of an extra push. And I think, you know, Nicholas Jackson was playing really well. I think, like I said, Cole Palmer is Cole Palmer. Maybe he wasn't the racist today, but I think, you know, Pedro Neto goes on the left for me, for the time being, to, you know, accommodate Cole Palmer. As much as Pedro Neto has been spectacular on that right hand side, Cole Palmer is Cole Palmer. And I think that, you know, I just want to see Jackson and Nkunku together. Because when you play Nkunku as a lone front man, you don't get the best out of him. That was always going to be an issue. You know, when we signed him from RB Leipzig, he had an amazing season, and, you know, two seasons really, where he was playing off of a big centre forward. We've got the opportunity to do that with someone who is excellent link-up play with Nicholas Jackson. Could have Christopher Nkunku sat behind him, and then you go Pedro Neto on the left, Cole Palmer on the right. That's what I'd do anyway. I think Nonny's, I think he's a little bit too nonchalant, for somebody who I don't think has the credibility to be doing what he does sometimes. I thought he played better today. You know, my big criticism in the Man United game was he didn't get to the byline enough, and you know, he did that a lot today. But I do think that, for me, I just think that you want to get your best players in that team. And I think Christopher Nkunku's done enough to prove a point where he is a player who I would, if I was Maresca, be accommodating for in that number 10 / second striker slot.
Well, I absolutely agree with you on that, actually. I mean, I was talking about it during the game on Twitter. That I would like to see Nkunku in that kind of 10, and then Palmer as an inside forward. He got a lot of his goals last season from not as a right winger, but as a right inside forward. And you could play him there again. If you have Reece James in the team, you could have Reece James then, you know, using that width on the right. I think it's worth trying, especially against Leicester. I don't think you could lose anything against Leicester from trying that out. Leicester is the kind of team you try it out against, right? So, yeah, absolutely agree with that. And Neto on the left. I mean, I'd love to see Neto on the right. I would. I love Pedro Neto. I think he's crossing on the right.
He's so direct as well. He's so direct.
Yeah, and he's proven. I mean, he's 24, but he's established. He's an established player. He's not a project player, right? He's already established in the Premier League, and he's got enough know-how to know how to deliver in proper games.
Couldn't agree more. I think that Pedro Neto is, I think, one of the very few signings that I think ticked the boxes for the sporting directors that also ticked the boxes that me and you set score, because obviously we are the de facto sporting directors that should be in place.
Obviously,
and,
yeah.
You know, I Pedro Neto is just what I like about him. And again, it's the criticism I had of Noni Madueke. It's the criticism I had of Jadon Sancho, right? And Rambles can attest to this, considering him and myself had this conversation after Man United game. It's that little extra step over all the time that those two do and then fails to deliver because they take too long. There was two or three instances today where Pedro Neto, I didn't think in that first half, he held onto the ball and everyone said, make the cross, you're being too slow. He did two or three step overs, held onto it and placed the ball perfectly into the box where someone just couldn't quite get on it. It's a case of he has those extra moments and I think just that extra part of his delivery, which I've no doubt that Noni Madueke and Jadon Sancho have in their game, but he actually delivers it. And I think the way that he plays, he's just so aggressive, forward thinking. I think if you had Pedro Neto, Cole Palmer, Christian Kunku and Nicholas Jackson running at you as a four. My word. I think if you get that team in transition, you hit the ball over the top for those guys, which we've done on a few occasions this season when, you know, we've had the space, real opportunities will arise.
Absolutely. And I've also got a stat for Pedro Neto. He has scored or assisted since the start of last season. Pedro Neto has scored or assisted a goal every 145 minutes in the Premier League. Which is a better record than Luis Diaz. It's better than Leandro Trossard and Dominic Solanke. So he's consistently delivering here, you know, in games, you know, whether it's a goal or an assist. He's delivering and he's doing that for Chelsea. Some other stats actually. We've got some more stats up. Moises Caicedo, Cucurella. Let's look at Mark Cucurella's game. Because we know he had a great game.
Shagger.
Boo.
100% tackles win rate. 92% pass accuracy. 4 out of 5 ground duels won. 3 out of 3 tackles won. 3 interceptions and 2 clearances. What a game Mark Cucurella had today. I think we can all agree on that. And I don't know if you know this, Louis, but Sky gave Cucurella man of the match.
Fitting. I would have given it to him, Pedro Neto, or Moises Caicedo, to be honest. That's I think the beauty of those three. Me and you have been crying out for it for about 18 months. You just want those players that drop 6, 7, 8 out of 10 every single week. And whenever those three are on the pitch, I never worry. I think it's a case of, you think about the Marco Correa that arrived at Chelsea, that looked so out of his depth. As he's matured and as the team's matured, he's one of the players who has actually started to solidify and show his quality. And I've been consistently impressed with him and I hope he continues to do more.
100% agree. I think, yeah, you need those players. And Cucurella is consistent every game now. Like, and you almost don't have to worry about whether or not he's going to perform because he just does. It's the same with Caicedo. And it's starting to be the same with Pedro Neto. You know, Cole Palmer this season hasn't done it as consistently, but we all know how good he is. And when he's on it, when he's 100% sharp, that he's going to turn up. He's going to do something, you know. So, we're starting to get a few of those players now, which is really, really important, like you say. And that's a really positive thing to see. And just some stats for Caicedo, because we've been talking about him. 95% pass accuracy, 52 passes completed, 8 ball recoveries, the most in the game. 6 out of 8 long passes completed, 5 duels won, 3 out of 4 tackles won, and 2 blocks. Another really good performance. And he was captain today as well. I mean, you were at the game, Larry. Did you see that? Any of that leadership qualities displayed by Caicedo today?
I did. I absolutely did. Again, he quietly goes about his business, which I really like. I think it was the very early doors when he kind of did what every old school defensive midfielder would do and kind of set the tempo of that midfield battle with Martin Odegaard, where he just went into him. Great tackle. But left Odegaard like a sack of potatoes on the floor. You know, Arsenal really had to employ those dark arts as much as they could today. But what I appreciate is Moises Caicedo, Marco Correa, Cole Palmer. They all did it as much as they did. And I think that frustrated Arsenal as well. But yeah, Moises Caicedo, just everything he did today. I mean, I was just doing the maths there. 95% pass completion, 52 passes. Looking about what? That's like 47, 48 passes. 5 went astray. I mean, blimey. That is... You just saw how important he was. And when people talk about the lack of creativity that Chelsea have in that double pivot after Manchester United game, which left me and Rambles stunned, you can see that that's a load of rubbish with those sort of numbers. You know, the way he just consistently kept the ball ticking over and going forward, tick, 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 tick. It's what you want in a defensive midfielder. And whether or not it's he had the armband or not, you can see that he's somebody that this squad needs to keep hold of and just sort of just allow him to do his thing, because we're now starting to see the real quality in Moises Caicedo, and you know, I'm very glad that he's a Chelsea player.
As am I. I'm really pleased we signed him.
I think you've also got to take into account when Correa and Caicedo came into the club, we weren't going through the best of times. It was a transitional period, and we, you know, on the pitch, things weren't brilliant. So that was always going to make things that bit harder.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's right. It was, I'm just sharing the stats here for Cucurella into the, Jumbotron. So, check those out. Yeah, you're right. He came to the club at a difficult time and there was a lot of instability, and he had a lot of things going on as well. So it was a tough time for him. And I think most people write him off, to be fair, Cucurella. And look at him now. You know, he's been fantastic. And Caicedo as well, you know, like you say, like he came in, he hasn't had a pre-season, massive fee, lots of pressure. The club was a bit unstable. And it took him a while to get adapted, but now he is. And now he's one of our key players, you know. And as Louis said, showing leadership on the pitch as well, which is what you want to see. We need leaders on the pitch, and you know, to have one in midfield as well is really, really important, you know. And yeah, he's definitely one of our key players now. Right, Louis, thank you for coming. By the way, you can catch Louis' voice note review on the Chelsea Echo Twitter account. And make sure you grab that. It's always worth listening to. 3 minutes match review. Straight, sharp and to the point. Always great content from Larry. Yeah, so, okay, now we can start looking into kind of the next few games coming up. We've got Leicester next, which is going to be a homecoming for Enzo Maresca. Rambles, what would your team be for that game?
Providing there's no injuries, I'd go for Jorgensen in goal. I'd go for James, Fofana, Colwill, Cucurella, then Labia and Caicedo, then Neto on the right, Mudryk on the left, Palmer as a 10, and Jackson up front.
Interesting. Louis, what about you? Oh, he's gone. I would be picking... So why would you be picking Mudryk on the left?
Because I've just been really impressed with him in recent weeks. I think he's really starting to look a lot more confident. And I think, I just feel with his attributes, especially his pace, he could be such a danger.
I agree. I think I do think that if he started, he would definitely, especially against Leicester, you know, because we all know how his pace is so dangerous, and he's starting to make those cut to cut in and get those shots away as well, like he did in midweek against Noah. So yeah, that's a good point. I mean, my pick will probably be similar to what Louis said, which is bringing Kunku in as a number 10, Palmer inside right. I'd have Neto on the left. I'd probably have Caicedo and probably Lavia, although I'd be tempted to play Enzo Fernandez, depending if he's back in time, just to give Lavia a bit of a break. And then, you know, at the back, Cucurella, Levi, Fofana and Reece James. And yeah, we won't talk about the goalkeeper, because we all know what we think about the goalkeeper. So, you know, that's a good point. We talk about him a lot. So I thought he made some good, Robert Sanchez, he did make a couple of good saves today, but for the Arsenal goal, I think, you know, like Rambles, you know, you all know how you love ranting about Sanchez. So what do you think about him and the goal? How did he do for the goal? Their goal.
I think he should have done much better for their goal. And I was saying to my friend before the game, I think it's getting to a point for me where I think for his own good, he needs to be taken out of the firing line. And it's just every game, there's questionable things he's doing. Okay, some people will say the goal wasn't his fault and he couldn't have done more, but I think it's probably 60-40. It's just every game, it just seems to be he does something or he doesn't do something which leads to a goal or a big opportunity. And I think for his own good, if I was Maresca now, I would take him out of the firing line for a few games, and I would say to Jorgensen, right, you're playing the next few Premier League games. This is your opportunity to go and make the number one jersey yours. Because we just can't carry on with Sanchez in goal. Like, I was paying real close attention to David Raya in the Arsenal goal. And he's a keeper which just fills you with confidence. I don't mean he had a brilliant season last season, but he's really grown into that Arsenal number one jersey. And he's probably been one of, if not the best keepers this season. Whereas Sanchez, he's just nowhere near good enough. And the longer he's playing as number one goalkeeper, he's just going to cost us time and time and time again.
Yeah, I think he could have done better for the goal. I really do. I think the top goalkeeper probably kicks that out if he sees the corner, honestly. It was such a frustrating goal to concede, because I don't think we deserved to concede that goal based on the overall game. It was really any clear-cut chance that they had. I mean, they had three shots on target, but, you know, I think Sanchez did make a good save for one of the shots, to be fair to him, but you've got to keep all of them out. And a proper goalkeeper would have kept that out. I mean, don't want to be too harsh on him because we didn't lose, but, you know, it could have been that could have turned a draw into a win. You know, that's the point. But, you know, he'll probably start against Leicester. I'm absolutely sure he will. And that's why I don't pick him in our start 11, because I know he's going to start anyway. So I think, yeah, we've got a good run of games coming up now as well. You know, I think the next few games coming up in the league anyway, are pretty good. We've got Leicester next, we've got Aston Villa, I think we've got Southampton, you know, and so they're games that we could be looking to win. Obviously we've got some midweek games as well, we've got some more Conference League games to come, but that'll be a different 11, so that won't be a problem, and we should be winning those games anyway. So yeah, I think, you know, like, how do you feel about Chelsea now going into the international break, Rambles? Being third in the Premier League, top of the Conference League group, you know, with some good fixtures coming up, How do you feel?
I think we head into the international break in a really positive space. You can see huge improvements from last season. We haven't got any injuries, which is a huge bonus after the last few seasons. And you can see we're heading in the right direction. We're a couple of players short, I think, of being a really competitive team. We can go on and compete for titles, and go on and go to the latter stages of the Champions League. Because we really aren't that far away now, I don't think.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, yeah, you're right. We're about three, maybe four players away, I think, from, and a little bit more experience as well, away from being a team that can compete for the title, you know. And I'm sure that we'll address those areas in the next two windows, and hopefully they address the goalkeeping situation. I think then we need another centre-back, proven centre-back, who's a quality centre-back who can play with Levi, and then I think we need a kind of profile up front of a target man, someone who's tall, powerful, can win headers, and is like a complement to Jackson. Someone like Guy Carrez, I would probably take Guy Carrez, or Liam Delap, who scored again today. He's in great form. Someone like that, because I think we might have won the game with a player like that coming off the bench today. But I agree with you. I think we're in a good place. I think third in the Premier League after 11 games, almost a third of the season, above Arsenal, above Aston Villa, above Tottenham. You know, we're above a lot, above Newcastle. We're above a lot of good sides. I think is a really, really big positive. And we've only lost four matches all season. You know, we've played five Conference League games. We've played two League Cup games. So we played 18 games. We've only lost four of them. Sorry, and that's pretty good. I'm pleased with that. It's much better than last season. If you think where we were this time last season, we were kind of mid-table, pretty much. I think 10th or 11th or something around this time. So we're definitely making progress, and it's really good to see. So yeah. So just a final word on the game today, Louis Rambles.
Now the dust has settled a bit more, I'm actually feeling pretty happy. I think, as I said just a minute ago, for me, I'm going to head into the international break feeling really positive about the future, because I think we've had a much better start to the season than anyone would have predicted. And you can see we're moving in the right direction, the players are improving, and I'm really excited about the rest of the season now.
Yeah. That's my view as well. I think I'm pleased with today's result. I think we played well enough to get a draw. If we'd had a bit of luck, we could have won. And overall, yeah, I think we're in a good position to, you know, really make a challenge for the top four this season, which is what we wanted to do, and to win the Conference League as well. And but today, yeah, I was worried about today because just we haven't beaten Arsenal in so long, and we get such bad luck against them, but I was really pleased, you know, with the overall performance and the result we got as well. Given we haven't beaten Arsenal for such a long time, and we lost 5-0 to Arsenal towards the end of last season, you know, and they completely destroyed us. Today we were their equal, you know, they weren't any better than us today, and that's a good step forward. So I'm pleased with today. So everyone, thank you for listening. Really appreciate you all being part of it. Thank you, Louis and Rambles, for being great co-hosts and commentators with me. Make sure you check out the voice note review, which will be on the Chelsea Echo Twitter account soon. And this show will be available as a podcast tomorrow morning. So make sure that you check that out as well. And everyone who's listening to that, thank you for listening. Make sure you keep following the Chelsea Echo Twitter account for all this great content. We've got some great people as part of our team. There's some great content being produced, so make sure you give that a follow as well. And make sure that you join us in a couple of weeks for the next game against Leicester. post-match. We'll be back again. So enjoy the international break. And up the Chelsea.